something. He shared a little message he told us about, and he inspired me a little bit. And what he really helped me to see is the idea that, you know what, we either sabotage our faith or we prove our faith. And there's five things I want to talk about this morning that help us to understand or help us to see areas in our life where we are either sabotaging ourselves or we're proving ourselves. And the five things are this. We either sabotage our faith or we prove our faith in our worship, in our prayer time, in our fasting, in our tithing and giving, and in our serving. These are just five simple areas that, you know what, if you write these things down, you know, these five simple things, and you do a little self-evaluation, how's this working in my life? How am I enacting these things in my walk? Am I sabotaging my own faith, or am I proving my own faith? You know, there are many times that we will blame the devil. And, of course, he does deserve a lot of blame sometimes. But you know what? A lot of times we are blaming the devil for the lack of blessings in our lives, or blaming the devil for different things in our lives that really he had nothing to do with it. We sabotage ourselves. And so I want to look at these things real quick. And the first one I want to talk about is worship. When we fail to worship God, we sabotage our faith. It's that simple. And when we do worship God, we prove our faith. You walked in this building this morning, you proved something to God. You proved that he matters to you. You proved that you believe in him. I hope that's why you came in here this morning. Because you wanted to give something to Jesus. You want to worship Christ. I have people all the time, I hear this, and probably you've heard it too. Well, I didn't get anything out of the service today. Hopefully that won't be today. But have you ever heard somebody say that? Well, I didn't get anything out of the worship. I didn't get anything out of church today. Well, you know what? That's not what worship is. Worship is what God gets out of you. So think about that. You come in, you know, we come into this place and we're like, God, what are you going to do for me today? And God's like, what am I going to get out of you today? Exodus chapter 20, verses 3 to 5 says, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourselves carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water underneath the earth. You shall not bow down to them, nor serve or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and the fourth generations of those who hate me. Father, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for this message today. And I ask, Lord, that you would use it to speak to our hearts and to change our lives. Father, I pray that every person in this place learns how to prove their faith rather than sabotage it on their own. Bless each one today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, what's he saying here? You shall have no other gods before me. I've said this before. What is it that you talk about each and every day? You know, when it's football season, everybody's talking about the Bills. Oh, how wonderful that Tyrod Taylor is. Oh, well, if you like the guy. A lot of guys don't like the guy. He's a little short, but that's okay. But you know, how do you describe your favorite celebrity? Oh, this person's wonderful. Oh, this person does this. Oh, this person's beautiful. Oh, this person is all that. And you know what? You're worshiping that person. You shall have no gods before me. You know, I find people that struggle to witness, struggle to tell other people about Jesus. You know what? If you were a true worshiper, that would be the first thing out of your mouth. You'd want to tell people about this God that you so love, or that you supposedly love. If you truly loved him, you would be telling others about him. That's an act of worship. If you truly loved him, you would serve him. You would do whatever he calls you to do. You would go wherever he calls you to go. But if you put other things before him, you sabotage your own faith. It says, you shall not bow down to them nor worship them, for I, the Lord, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, to the third and the fourth generation. Not only, if you're not worshiping God and God alone, you're not only sabotaging your own faith, it says the third, the second, and the third, and the fourth generation, you're sabotaging generations behind you. Pastor, I don't know how to worship God. I saw a thing written the other day. It said, worship is not a slow song you sing, but worship is a life lived in obedience to God. How do I worship God? Obey him. And so we sabotage God by not worshiping him. But you know what? We can prove our faith to God by worshiping. Exodus 23:25 says, you shall serve or worship the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you. What do you want? Do you want to be sabotaged? Do you want your iniquities to be counted on you and your generations behind you? Or do you want God to bless the things that you do? My encouragement to you this morning is to worship God. Put him first and foremost in your life, and nothing else, put nothing before him. Why is it that we sabotage ourselves? We don't show up to church. Why? Because we got other things going on. What other thing is more important than worshiping God? Throughout the week, we do this and we do that and we do everything else, but we fail to bow our knee and say, God, I worship you. There are things that you and I can do that can prove our faith to this world. He's the God I worship. But yet there are things that we do that we sabotage our own faith. Jesus said to worship or serve the Lord your God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. Everything that is in me. You know, when people see you or me coming, what they should be saying, hey, here comes that person that loves Jesus. Right? How will they know that? When they see you worshiping him. How will they see you worshiping when you're praising him in the public square, when you're witnessing for Jesus Christ, telling other people about him? Like I said yesterday, I went to the hospital and I visited an old friend. Matter of fact, this old friend, there's something he remembers that I had forgotten about. He brought it back to my attention of a year or so ago when I ran into him on Facebook. Hey, do you remember this time? We were shot at. Him and I were shot at. The story's pretty strange. It was by a brother-in-law of mine now that my sister married the guy that shot at us. That's a long story, but... He remembered that. Praise God. I don't think the guy was intentionally trying to hit us, but he was shooting in our direction. I'm like, whoa, intentionally shooting in our direction. Of course, I did drive over his targets with my car, but that's another. Kids, don't drink. It's not a good thing. It just causes you to do stuff that's stupid. But I had an opportunity to tell him, you know what? I learned who God was, and he changed my life. You know, I didn't tell him you're a sinner and you need to be saved and all that stuff. I already know somebody's been working on his heart. And all I did was share with him, you know what? God helped me, took the alcohol away. He's in the hospital because his kidney shut down from drinking. Drinking too much. He said, I guess it's true. You can drink yourself to death. Yeah. And I just went there and I loved him. But I let him know that it was God who was influencing my life. And it's God that wants to have influence in his life. Don't sabotage your faith, church. Prove it. Second one is prayer. When we fail to pray, we sabotage our faith. There was something I read the other day that said, when you fail to pray, you leave closed doors that God is waiting to open for you. Think about that. There are doors in heaven that God wants to open right now and pour blessing into your life, but he keeps them closed until you pray. Amen. My friend Mike here, he's a man that lives by faith. He's a man that knows, and what he's talking about is praying the will of God. How do you pray the will of God? Well, what is the Spirit of God speaking to your heart? Listen to that voice inside of you. I met a young man the other day that was telling me that, you know, he prays, but he doesn't know who he's praying to. He said, well, I believe in a higher power. I believe this higher power inspires. And I said, let me tell you that higher power's name. His name is Jesus Christ. And he speaks to your heart. You know, most of us, a lot of times we go throughout the day based on what our mind tells us to do rather than listening to what our heart's telling us to do. You know, the Bible says to walk in the Spirit. Then you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, when you walk in the presence of your mind and the thoughts that come through there, you're walking in the flesh. But when you walk according to what the Spirit of God is speaking in your heart, you're walking Spirit. And when you go to pray, what's the Spirit of God stirring up in your heart? You pray that. Pray according to God's will. But it's important to pray. If you don't pray, you're sabotaging yourself. James 4:2 says, you lust and you do not have. You murder and you covet and you cannot obtain. You fight and you war. Yet you do not have because you do not ask. How hard is that? Lord, sometimes I don't even know what to ask for. Okay, let's back up a step. Lord, show me what I need in my life. I need you to show me what I need in my life, God. Show me what it is you want to give me and help me to ask for that. What is it God wants to give you? Well, according to Jesus, your daily bread, right? He wants to give you a heart of worship. He wants to give you your daily bread. He wants to give you a heart that will forgive others. Think about the Lord's Prayer. Give us our daily bread. Forgive us our debts. He wants to help you escape from temptation. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us, right? Be a husband to your wife and a wife to your husband. You know, these are the things that he's written in his word. You know, this young man that was saying, well, I believe there's a higher power, but I said, read his word because you get to know him. Read his word not for, he said, well, I've read the Bible a few times. I said, well, did you read it for the information or did you read it to get to know Jesus? There's a difference. Well, I read it for information. Well, there's a lot of information there. But that, I don't believe that's why God gave it to us. I don't think it's just all about the information. I believe he gave it to us so that we could know Jesus. And so read the word. Hear his voice and pray. Because when we pray, you know what we do? We prove to God that we trust him. When we pray, we prove our faith before God and man that, you know what? This, I have this need in my life. And I know where to get it. I get it from God. And if God don't give it to me, then I don't need it. It's that simple. And so in our prayer, we either sabotage ourselves by not praying, you have not because you ask not, or we receive blessing from God because we do. It says, whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Anybody like receiving? Any receivers? Well, of course, depends. My wife says, depends on what you're receiving. Okay. Well, let's not get technical here. But you know what? If God wants me to have it in my life, even if I don't like it, Lord, help me to receive it. Amen. You get back what you give. You receive what you have sown, right? Principle of sowing and reaping. You reap to the wind, you sow to the wind, you reap what? The whirlwind. But you sow seeds in the kingdom of heaven, and guess what you get? Kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. And so don't sabotage your faith by not praying. Some are like, well, I don't know how to pray. Yes, you do. I'll guarantee you every single person in this room knows how to worry. If you know how to worry, you know how to pray. Because that's what worry is. It's just it's a negative way of praying. And you worry and you pray to yourself, oh my God, my own God. I can't do this. I can't do that. This is going to happen. That's going to happen. I'm full of fear. I don't know what to do. Well, stop talking to yourself in fear and worry. Start talking to God in faith and prayer. If you don't hear his voice, the first prayer you would pray, God, let me hear your voice. If you don't know who he is, the first prayer you pray, Jesus, I need to know you. Help me know you. If you don't know what you need, your first prayer, Lord, just give me what I need. If you don't know anything else, how do I pray? You just get on your knees and say, Lord, help. I need your help. The most powerful, positive thing you can do for you is to get on your knees and call out to God. How many of us do, you know, there's some pretty powerful negative things that we do in our lives, right? But if you want the most powerful positive thing to happen to you, get on your knees and start calling out to God. Even if you're just talking to the air, you know, this guy, I don't know who, there's a higher power, I don't know who he is. Well, you know what, call on him. Get on your knees. God, I don't know you, I want to know you, I know I need to know you, I feel you in my life, you're drawing to me to yourself. Show me who you are. And I pray and I ask of you, because I need to receive of you, God. I want to prove my faith by calling on your name, not calling on the bank, not calling on anybody else to supply your needs. Call on him. Prove your faith rather than sabotage it by praying. Fasting. We talk about this a little now and again, but not always. But somebody asked me again the other day, well, how do you fast? Well, when I fast, I just stop eating food. If you look at the word, that's what it means. Fasting is going without food. And when we fail to fast, we sabotage our faith. But when we do fast, we prove it. I think fasting is one of the most powerful forms of prayer, only because you are really proving that you are willing to deny your flesh in order for the Spirit to move in your life. When you deny yourself food, it's like, for us, it's the ultimate denial of the flesh. Because the flesh craves the food, right? I remember when I was first saved and they were talking about fasting in the church. And I remember in my mind thinking, they are crazy. There ain't no way this boy can live a day without food. No way. I mean, I couldn't imagine it. I couldn't fathom it. It was so far out of my thinking that, are you kidding? Go without food. You can't live without food. Well, I've since learned you can. And I've since learned it's a very powerful form of prayer. And I also learned that if you do not fast now and again. And I'm not saying you have to go without food all the time, but you know what? If the Spirit of the Lord stirs in you, you better start fasting. Because there are certain things that won't happen if you don't do it. You can sabotage your faith by not fasting, but you can prove your faith by fasting. The Bible tells us, look at Matthew chapter 17. We'll go there real quick. There's a story in Matthew. And as I'm speaking this, my stomach is grumbling. I'm getting hungry. Yours is too? You didn't get to go to Dunkin'? Well, whatever you do, don't go to the one up on Route 15 in Henrietta, because that one is terrible. My wife and I pulled in there last night. Yeah, we need some Dunkin'. We go in there and the coffee was... She threw it away. And the donuts? Well, I enjoyed mine, but my wife just, it didn't happen. They didn't have what she needed, what she wanted. Matthew chapter 17, starting verse 14, says, when they had come to a multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. If you're a parent, I want you to hear this. Is your child often falling into the fire or often falling into the water, spiritually speaking? So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Then Jesus said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him. The child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately, saying, why could we not cast it out? So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Now that last verse, verse 21, if you're reading a NIV version of the Bible, that verse is not there. This is the one of the areas where I think they missed it with the NIV, and I need to talk to some of my Greek and Hebrew scholar friends to find out if that verse belongs there or not. But in most translations, there's a verse 21 in Matthew chapter 17. In the NIV, the verse isn't even there. But I believe it's a very important verse. This kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Which tells me that there are certain things that I am going to encounter that if I do not fast, it's not going to change. Last week, I was inspired. Actually, the week before, I was inspired to fast and pray. And I fasted for a couple of days. I shared with my wife my burden. And on Monday, my wife and I fasted for 3 days. We went without food. When we fast, we just take in liquids. That's what we do. The thickest thing we might have might be like some tomato soup, just because we need some nourishment or something. On the fourth day, God answered the prayer. I believe it was because we exercised and we proved our faith in fasting, by fasting. You see, we can sabotage our faith. The disciples, they couldn't cure him. That's what it says in verse 16. The disciples couldn't cure him. Why? Because they had sabotaged their faith by not spending time fasting. And Jesus says to them, however, this kind comes out only by prayer and fasting. You want to prove your faith to God, or do you want to sabotage your faith in God? If you want to prove it, then I encourage you to learn how to fast. Most people start out, well, it'll be one meal a day. What's your favorite meal of the day? Is it breakfast? Is it lunch? Is it dinner? Fast that one. Don't fast the easy one. Fast the hard one. And then when you get to that place in your faith where, you know what? I think I could go all day without food. Why? Because I have this area in my life that the Spirit of God is inspiring me, and I know I need an answer to this prayer, and I'm not getting it. I need to fast. Fast for a day. Parents, I encourage you. This was a father who had a son that needed God's help. The father fasted and the son was healed. And so if you have children that anybody got children that cause you to struggle? Yeah. Let me encourage you to fast. And you know what? If God doesn't move, then that's on God. But we as parents need to do our part. Prove our faith through fasting, tithing and giving. When we fail to tithe and give, we sabotage our faith. When we do tithe and give, we prove our faith. It's that simple. Again, you know, I have people, I hear this. I can't afford to tithe. You can't afford not to tithe. There are people in this place that have been tithing for years and years and years, and they will tell you, they will testify that, you know what, when I put God first, He takes care of my stuff. The saying my wife used to say every now and again, if I take care of God's business, He'll take care of mine. There's a principle in the Bible called tithing. We find it in Malachi chapter 3, and in verse 8, it says, will man rob God? Yet have you have robbed me. Would you say, in what? How have I robbed you, God? And He says, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. What's that saying? You have sabotaged your faith. You are cursed with a curse. Anybody want to be cursed by God? No. No, if I'm going to be cursed by anybody, I don't want to be cursed by God. But He says, and this is, so we sabotage. And He says, bring all the tithes, verse 10, into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will be room enough to receive it. He says, try me in this. You know what He's saying? Prove me in this. Prove your faith in God by giving a tithe and an offering. Prove it. This is an area where God says, walk right up to the altar, put your money down, and say, okay, God, prove it. Why does He want us to do that? Well, guess what? We live in an earth that requires money. And for His kingdom to be advanced on this earth, it requires money. Now, God could have used anything, but if you look through Scripture, you know, and I did some preaching on this a while ago, and by the way, I want to commend you all, because I did some preaching on tithing a while back and a couple sermons on money, and the church finances were getting to the point where I was going to have to go get a job. I was going to get a pay cut from the church because you can't afford me. You can't afford to pay my bills. But once I started preaching on tithing and money, you guys stepped up to the plate, and all of a sudden our finances turned around, and hallelujah, I don't have to go out and get a job. I can keep ministering the way that God has called me to minister, and our finances are going in the right direction. Please keep giving. But let me challenge you. If you are not tithing, you are sabotaging your faith. If you are tithing, you're proving it. What's the saying? Put your money where your mouth is. Huh? You say you believe in Jesus Christ. You say that He's number one in your life. Put your money down and give it to Jesus and see what He does in your life. We have to give back. Amen. You know, God is, it's like a sliding scale. If you're poor, you give 10% is a little. If you're rich, 10% is more. But the tithe is 10%. It's fair all the way around. I wish our tax system were like that, and it was fair all the way around. I wouldn't want it to be 10%. 10% belongs to God. God should be more important than anything else. And so if the government wants to make it fair, okay, make it 5. Yes, Danny. Tithing isn't. No, actually, he tips us.
Yeah.
Tithes and offering. Yeah. It breaks, what Mike says, it breaks the chains of poverty. You know, we say we can't afford it. I got this bill and that bill and the rent. I'm going to get kicked out. You know what? You pay that tithe, and I believe God will keep you in that place and not kicked out. Or he'll give you a better place. Here's the thing. When you bless, people notice. And when people notice, good work ethic, hard, respectful, you know, job well done, they take notice and they want to give back. You know, that's how it is with tipping. But you know, when it comes to tithing, I've heard it put like this. It all belongs to God, if you think about it. It all belongs, your whole check belongs to God. He lets you keep 90% of it, and he only asks for 10. But you know, there's a blessing beyond tithing. Prove God in the tithing. That's what his word says. But you know what? Also, you can prove God in giving. You know, missions, giving to missions, that's above and beyond your tithe. You give more. The more you give, God just continues to pour back. And I'm not one of those, okay, sow a seed and then you'll see, you know, you'll get back 10 times. You know, if you're giving for the purpose of getting, you're giving for the wrong reason. But if you're giving for the purpose of being obedient to God in an act of worship to God in order to advance his kingdom, then you're giving for the right reason. And God will bless that. God will honor that. He says that I will open the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing there won't be room enough to receive it. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Danny. Just one more thing. Again, that's about walking in the Spirit. What is God telling you in your heart to give? There have been times when I've gone to meetings and I open up my wallet and I'll grab the little bill and God will say, no, that's not the right one. This one? The one in the, no, that's not the right one. This one? Yeah, that one. But God, I had this earmarked for something else. Give that one. Okay, God. You prove your faith through your giving. Or you sabotage your faith for your lack thereof. Last one. Look at Matthew chapter 25. And we've talked about these verses before. I'm not telling you anything new. I want to encourage you. Really pay attention. Are you sabotaging your faith? Or are you proving it? Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46. Son of man came in his glory and all his holy angels with him. Then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. This is a time that is coming very, very soon. Jesus is going to show up, and we're going to all stand in front of him. And what he's going to do is he's going to separate sheep from goats. Now, you know, it's an interesting portion of Scripture. When I went to India, there's a herd of whatever is coming down the street. It is hard to tell the difference between a sheep and a goat in India. You know, here, you think of sheep as this little white fluffy thing, and you think of goat, you know, he's got these horns and his little billy chin thing. But in India, they all look the same. It's really strange. And so it makes sense that he's got to gather them all together and then, okay, you're a sheep, goat, sheep, goat, you know. But it says he's going to do this. Verse 34, the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. Think about that for a moment. There is a kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Man, God is awesome. His plans for you and I go so far beyond our imagination, it's incredible. Verse 35, for I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. I was naked, you clothed me. I was sick, you visited me. I was in prison, you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, thirsty, give you drink? When did we see you a stranger, take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king, verse 40, will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Verse 41, then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, you gave me no food. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, you did not visit me. And then they will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? And he will answer them, saying, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. You can sabotage your faith, or you can prove your faith by serving. If you fail to serve, you're sabotaging your faith. If you do serve out of a heart of love, you will prove your faith. It's that simple. These principles are so simple. And we wonder sometimes, why is it that I have all this frustration? And why do I have all this mess in my life? Why aren't things going very well for me? Maybe it's because you have been sabotaging your faith rather than proving it. He said in verse 45, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. You have sabotaged your faith. If God brings somebody into your realm of influence for you to serve in some capacity and you do not do it, you have sabotaged your faith. God has opened up doors for us to serve. Family Promise, opening up the doors here to help the homeless. The lunch program on Thursdays, by the way, if you still have, we're still doing that. We're going to continue doing that through the month of March and the month of April. We are on call on Thursdays from 9 o'clock to 1 o'clock. We'll be down at the Methodist Church serving lunch to the homeless and the needy. Help us do that. Salvation Army. We have people in this church serving Salvation Army. Praise God. We have people serving in this church, serving the Family Hope Center downtown, and others that go out into different ways and serve in different ways. We have, people volunteering, storage areas, and people doing other things that are serving the community in it with a heart of love, proving that we have faith in Jesus Christ. But I want you to know something. If your life is all about you, me, myself, and I, and nobody else, you're going to sabotage your faith. People working at the House of Concern. People working here. People working there. People going out to the jail. I'm blessed. I am so blessed to serve alongside you all in the areas where you serve. It's a blessing. Pastor, how can I serve more? Well, when it snows, show up here early and clean the sidewalk. Look around you. Is there a fly on the windowsill? Clean it off. Hallelujah. Someone did that already this morning. Thank you. I am grateful. Praise God. You see a need, you fill it. You see somebody hurting, you help them. You see somebody struggling, you come alongside them. You either sabotage your faith or you prove it. Verse 40 said, the king answers them, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. You know, I think there's a reason why Jesus said that there's only two commandments, to love God and to love your neighbor. I believe that loving neighbor part is the same as loving God. Because if you don't love your neighbor, you're not loving God either. And so here we are. These are five areas in our lives that I really want you to think about this. Write it down, put it on your refrigerator, and each and every morning go look at it. How am I doing today? Am I sabotaging my faith in these areas, or am I proving it? Stand with me. Thank you, Jesus. You know, as I said that and people stood right up to attention, I'm thinking, wow, you know, what power I have. I can just say, stand with me, and I'll stand up. Oh, that we would obey God like that. Right? When he says in our hearts, do this. Yes, God, I'll get right to it. Why? Because I want to prove my faith. Through worship, through prayer, through fasting, through tithing and giving, and through serving, and the Lord has something she wants to say. Oh, hallelujah. Ah, is this the right moment? Good.
I don't know about you guys, but sometimes praying can be intimidating. I was raised a Catholic. I stepped away from the faith for 10 years. Came back into a big Protestant church in California, and when people prayed, like, sounds like a song. It sounded like they knew what to do, and I was in the middle of them. I was like, oh my goodness, what am I doing here? And our church in California delivered a method. If you're like me, I love method, right? 1, 2, 3, you start here, you finish there, and it all works out, and it's great. And I know there are as many ways to praise as people, but the method that we were given in that church was tremendously helpful, and I still use it today, so I wanted to share it.
Amen, please do.
So you take the word pray, and you put it vertically. P-R-A-Y. The first letter P is for praise. You start your prayer by praising God. The second letter R is for repent. Mm. Analyze, look through your day, through your week, through your month, through your years, whenever it was the last time you prayed, and repent from the bottom of your heart. The third letter A is for ask. What it is that is leading you today to start that prayer and work through that. And the last letter, which I had no idea was part of prayer, but it's actually quite powerful, is yield.
Yield.
Shut up. Listen. And praise, repent, ask, yield. And I still follow that pattern, and I think it's quite helpful.
Amen. That is good. Thank you for sharing that. Pray. Praise, repent, ask, and yield. Yield, meaning surrender to God. Yield also means wait. You know, when everybody remember a yield sign, when you get to the yield sign, what do? You wait for the other traffic. Well, yielding to God is waiting on God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, you have given us the ability in our own walk to either sabotage our faith or to prove it. Lord, I pray that in everything that we say and do, we prove our faith. In the areas, God, where we have sabotaged our faith, let us, as we just learned, let us use the R word, repent. Repent when we've failed to worship you and we've put other things before you. Repent, Lord God, when we've failed to ask. Repent, Lord, when we've made gluttons of ourselves and couldn't even go one meal without fasting, without eating. Repent for the times when we didn't tithe and we didn't give. And repent for the times when you called us to serve and we failed. Help us, God, no longer to sabotage our faith, but to stand up and to prove it. Lord, I pray a blessing on each person in this place today, that our worship would be true, that our prayers would be heard, that our fasting would be effective, that our tithing would be more than enough, and our serving, Lord God, would be relentless. God, bless each person in this place as we strive to prove our faith through our lives in the things that we do. That you would be glorified and honored. Father, I pray that when we walk in the room, that people will have no doubt there's somebody who has great faith. Lord, I thank you for your presence and your word in our lives and your instruction today. Bless each one in Jesus' name. Amen.